Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be truly acceptable to you this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder whether you can remember the longest distance that you have ever walked. Just try to picture that journey in your mind. What were the mental and physical reserves that you required to keep you going when you wanted to quit? What was it? And more importantly, how did you feel when you stopped? I think most were relieved. It's over. You know, most of us today are fortunate to have some form of transportation, being it a bike, a car, a bus, Uber, Gopher. And long journeys no longer require much effort or commitment. You know, I can't remember the last time I walked to the point of exhaustion. And that's why I'm fascinated by people who commit to undertake long journeys. What is it that motivates them? In Living Waters, we had one gentleman that offered to run from the port in Albany to the peak of Bluff Knoll, and he did that in a day, 100 kilometres. There's no way I could do it. What is it that motivates him? It was to be able to raise funds to help a family. But what motivates us? Well, Helen Thayer was a woman from, a New Zealand woman, and she's been named as one of the most important explorers in the 20th century by the National Geographic Society. She'd received other honours and recognitions as well for her adventures around the world. And one example was at the age of 63, Helen and her husband Bill set out to walk more than, I'll say 1,600 miles, 2,500 k's, across the Gobi Desert between Mongolia and China. Can you imagine taking on something like that? And walking on foot allowed them to meet with the local nomads who lived in the desert and to learn about their culture. And along the way, they faced struggles, tough weather conditions, sandstorms, dangers from smugglers along the China-Mongolia border, lack of water supplies. And at one point, they were even arrested by the Mongolian soldiers and accused of being smugglers themselves. And they completed that journey in 71 days. You know, it's hard to imagine the single-minded commitment required to make a journey like that. And I think about that mindset that these people need to develop to even set out on those journeys. Because that kind of commitment comes at a cost. And I think about the cost of commitment when I reflect on the Bible passage that we had from Genesis chapter 22 this morning, where God calls Abraham to make a journey. We read, sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. You know, what a command. Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there on the mountain that I will show you. You know, surely Abraham would have been horrified by that request of him, by what God was asking Abraham to do. And yet we read, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. You know, no excuses, no procrastination, only immediate obedience to God's command. You know, this is one of the hardest stories in the Bible to understand. Just put yourself in Abraham's shoes. You know, many years before, he had left his home and his extended family, his security, the only life that he knew, to follow God into an unknown land. And because of God's Abraham's obedience, God had promised him that he and Sarah would be blessed with a child, even though they're way past childbearing age. And Isaac was the answer to those prayers. And now God was putting Abraham to the test, asking him to kill Isaac, his only son whom he loved, as a sacrifice to God. You know, believers throughout the centuries have wrestled with this story. And I'm not sure that it'll ever be easy to understand, because it raises as many questions as it does answers. But there's one particular question that I'd like us to consider this morning. What do you have to believe about God in order to submit your whole life to him, as Abraham dedicated his life to God? What was it that Abraham believed about God that caused him to get up early the next morning, load his donkey and walk with his beloved son up to Mount Moriah? Well, the first thing that he had to believe is that God is good. Please understand this. God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. The God revealed to us in Jesus Christ would never ask something so horrendous of one of his children. This was a test of Abraham's faith. Think about it. The very nature of God is at stake. God, by his own nature, could never ask something like that of us. Because the Bible teaches us that God is unconditional love. If God is uncaring or irrational or unpredictable, then our only hope is to desperately seek to appease him. The result would be a life lived in constant fear of never measuring up. And fear poisons the human spirit. It's the enemy of love. Now, fear cannot coexist with a healthy relationship. You know, it's better to hide away from a God like that or throw ourselves into desperate attempts to please him. But if, on the other hand, God is unconditional love, and Scripture tells us that he is, we can trust him with everything that we have. Our children, our future, and everything that we own. There's a man named Victor Fried in an essay titled "Too Broken to Be Fixed." Tells of how he grew up as an angry child who lashed out at others. His family had taught him that if something went wrong, it was always someone else's fault. That's been around since the time of Adam, hasn't it? It's not my fault, it's... And he learnt to distrust people. And this distrust resulted in anger and alienation and lashing out at the world. And that situation only worsened as Victor became an adult. He says of his mindset at that time, "Finally, you ask yourself the question, why are so many people out to get me? And the only logical answer is that if even God hates you, so if you're like me," he said, "you return the favour and hate God right back." My belief that God hated me grew as the years passed, and I perceived each setback as further evidence that my belief was correct. The one thing that gave his life meaning was his job. He was building custom-made furniture. And one day, Victor spotted a man walking down the street carrying an elegant Queen Anne chair. And he recognised it instantly as a valuable antique. And he asked the man if he could have it. It only had a broken rung, and Victor knew that he could fix it. And the man said, nope, and threw it the chair into a skip bin, permanently breaking its frame and ruining it. And that moment reinforced for Victor's the belief that people are no good and God didn't care about him. About a year later, Victor's anger and sadness finally drove him to burnout, and he drove down to the river one icy cold morning with the intent to throw himself into the river and either drown or freeze to death. But as he stood on that riverbank, he suddenly recalled that angry man who had thrown that Queen Anne chair into the skip. And he heard a voice say to him, if you're going to throw that out, may I have it? And Victor says he knew that it was the voice of God. His lifetime of anger and fighting and broken relationships came to mind. Yet now he could see how God loved him in spite of all those things. And he suddenly understood that God is unconditional love and had loved him throughout his whole life. And now God was asking Victor to turn over his life to him. So instead of falling into the river that day, Victor fell on his knees and gave his life to Christ. And that moment was the start of a healing of lifetime of anger and loneliness. If you're going to throw that out, may I have it? What do we need to believe? What do we have to believe about God to commit our lives entirely to him? We have to believe, first of all, in his goodness, in God's unconditional love for us. And if God is love, then God doesn't want appeasement from us. He wants a relationship with us. If God is love, then his goal is not to leave our wounds and our heartbreaks and our challenges unredeemed. God's goal is to work all things together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to God's purposes, Romans 8:28. But if that's true, how do we explain the sacrifice God asked Abraham to make? And you know, that brings us to the second thing that we need to believe, is that God is working out his eternal purposes through our total commitment to him. And that means that your life and mine have a purpose. Our sacrifices have a purpose. God is telling his story through us. And he will use all these things to build his kingdom and draw other people to him. You know, Abraham would have clung on to that hope as he and Isaac travelled the 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. Our Bible passage read, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached that place where God had told them about, Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar on the wood. And then he reached out with his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know, I can only imagine the relief and the joy and the gratitude that both Abraham and Isaac experienced when God stopped that sacrifice and provided the ram instead. The Lord had provided and the beloved son Isaac would live. But I wonder what it would have been like if they could see the actual ending to that story. What if they could have seen how the Lord would provide his one and only son, whom he loved, as a perfect once for all time sacrifice to defeat the power of sin and death and restore us to eternal life with him. When we look at the cross, we have indisputable proof that God is good and that God is working out his eternal purposes through our commitment to him. There was a young man named Jimmy Asimel, a student at the Texas State University, and he was visiting his home in the country of Haiti when he heard a strange sound coming from a nearby rubbish bin. And he discovered a tiny baby boy in the rubbish bin. The boy was covered with stinging ants, screaming in pain and fear. Other people just gathered and stared, but no one offered to help. And Jimmy had no idea what to do, but he knew that he couldn't leave the baby behind. So he took the baby to his mother's house, and he and his mother cleaned this baby up and fed him. They searched for the baby's parents, contacted the local police, but nothing came of their search. And Jimmy wrestled with the idea of adopting the baby himself, because he knew the pain of growing up without a father, and he didn't want this child to grow up without parents. Even though Jimmy was still a student, barely making ends meet, he applied to be the baby's legal guardian, and he named him Emilio Angel Jeremiah. And as Jimmy said in an interview, "One thing I know is that you can never go wrong when you choose love." Today, Jeremiah has grown into a thriving, healthy toddler, and Jimmy's still working currently to raise the funds needed to formally adopt that child. He says the last few years have not been easy. They've required many sacrifices. But looking back now at his decision, Jimmy says, "Something inside me was telling me that this has happened for a reason. So I took a leap of faith." Now, sometimes you don't have to know what to do. You just have to be ready to do it. God rarely, rarely provides us with a roadmap for our faith. Who here has a roadmap for their faith? I'd be very surprised if there were many hands came up. God rarely provides us with a roadmap for our faith. When you commit your life to God, you're taking a leap of faith. You have no idea where God will lead you. You have no idea what sacrifices you may be called to make. And like Jimmy, you don't have to know what to do. You just have to be ready to do it. What would it take for us to be ready like that? We have to trust in the goodness of God and that God is working out his eternal purpose through our obedience. You know, we will never see the end result of our commitment in this lifetime. We may never know how God works through our sacrifices to bring about his kingdom. But we can trust, as Abraham did, that the Lord will provide what we need to remain faithful to him until the day that we see God face to face. Until then, we'll keep our eyes fixed on the cross as our guarantee that God so loved us that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's promise to you and to me as we live our lives in faith for him. Amen.